representation, particularly for underrepresented communities. I was just shocked to see that there had only been 2 people of color and 7 women total in the past 100 years. And we need to work to fix that. People from every Portland neighborhood and every background should have an equal voice, and that is simply not happening. And this method, before you, could be part of that solution. Ordinary people and their concerns are not getting the attention that they deserve. We can change how candidates campaign. Because of small donations being matched, candidates would have an incentive to spend more time going door-to-door, going in neighborhoods that maybe they don't live in to understand the issues that real people are actually facing every day. So in conclusion, with this reform, more diverse candidates can run for office and represent their communities equitably, and you would see more women, more people of color, just more diversity overall, and we trust our elected officials to work this out on how to get this reform passed and to make it successful and to fulfill the wishes of your constituents. When everyone is empowered in our elections, everyone has a chance to have a seat at the table. And that's basically what it comes down to, just breaking down those barriers so people have a chance to make an impact in their community. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Buenas tardes. My name is Octaviano Merecias. I live, pray, play, and work in Portland, Oregon. Currently, I'm the manager for Civic Engagement and Policy Latino Network. I had a bilingual presentation, but time is a dictator and time is precious, so I'm going to keep it in English, okay? Our team develops leadership trainings and works alongside diverse leaders from the Latino community and other communities of color. My motivation for supporting this proposal comes from my experience working with diverse communities for the past 18 years in topics related to community development, civic engagement, and leadership. The struggles and the success of many families are imprinted in the history of Portland. Today, we face many obstacles such as affordable housing, equal opportunity and employment, and moving towards breaking the cycles of generational poverty. The immediate focus on these issues have kept many members of our community distant from engaging in the political process and the development of policies. But throughout our civic engagement and leadership programs, we have learned that participants have become more engaged when they learn about the opportunities to contribute to their city. Their willingness to be part of the process increases when there's a fair way to become part of the fabric of democracy. Members of our programs have participated in focus groups, working groups, advisory committees, leadership initiatives, and our hope is that one day they will exemplify and support their elected officials in transformational levels. Running for office is very expensive. That has become almost unthinkable for members of our diverse communities to give it a try, therefore slowly vanishing the opportunity to bring a full range of perspectives and voices to flourish to the table. The contribution of small donors towards the election process is one way to open the door to new and emerging leaders to contribute. Additionally, it provides a space for new and vibrant communities to be an important element of the democratic process. The dream to achieve a more inclusive process where members of our community, regardless of background and neighborhood, can serve and represent their community without having the fear of the obstacle of financing an expensive campaign. The multiplicity of voices are diversity of ideas and actions towards solving pressing issues. This proposal is an opportunity to include more people of color, emerging communities, young people, immigrant communities, and voices resonating, waiting to be heard. We believe in a more transparent, open, and accountable election that include a stronger transparency rule. We ask for the support for this resolution. This beautiful city, this city of roses, it shines in a colorful way of prosperity when diverse voices become integral part of the democratic process. Muchísimas gracias. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you all.
The next 3 are Charlie Fisher, Jesse O'Brien, and Emma Easley-Darden, and they'll be followed by Mark Sturbois, Steve Carter, and Ann Littlewood.
Well, I guess I'll start.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor Hales, Commissioners, my name is Charlie Fisher. I'm the State Director of Oregon State Public Interest Research Group, or OSPIRG. We're a statewide citizen-based organization with thousands of members in Portland. And I think we kind of bring a unique perspective to this to some extent because, you know, we have thousands of conversations with people at their doorstep in Portland every year. I'm sure many people in this room, probably multiple times. and I can say for certain that one of the things that's really on the mind of a lot of our members is the influence that big money has in our elections process. People want to participate and make a difference in the democratic process, either as a candidate or as a donor. But too often these people just decide not to because they think either they can't run a successful campaign against well-funded candidates or they don't think their $5, $10, or even $50 contribution is going to make a difference. So we think that this reform can play a positive role in how representative our candidates for office are. And then I think the other thing is, you know, I can say from experience that the fact that we fundraise small dollar contributions from people at their doorstep actually leads to greater accountability and awareness of the issues that people care about. So as a grassroots organization, we do get the vast majority of our funds from small individual donors, and it means that we really do have to think long and hard about what people care about and, you know, what they really want to support. And I think that concept and philosophy can be translated through this because it'll mean candidates doing often the same thing that we're doing, asking people for small contributions and giving them the opportunity to kind of invest in their democracy. So for that and many other reasons, we urge a unanimous council vote in favor of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. I am Jesse O'Brien, and I am the Policy Director of OSPIRG. And Mr. Fisher ably represented our organization's position, but I have the distinct pleasure to be here to deliver a petition signed by over 1,000 Portlanders from all over the city. And I'm just going to read the petition. I would like to note that it is in the first person, but I hope you will hear that and not think of me, except in as much as I'm one of the people who signed the petition, but think instead of over 1,000 Portlanders from every corner of the city and every walk of life. Dear Portland City Council, as a Portland voter and constituent, I write in support of the Open and Accountable Elections Act. Portland candidates are spending too much time raising money from wealthy donors and powerful corporate interests instead of campaigning among everyday voters. In 2012, a few hundred large donors gave three times more to candidates for city office than 6,000 everyday voters. This creates a disparity in which some voices speak louder than others in our democracy. I want to restore balance to the election process by ensuring that all Portlanders have an equal voice. I am strongly advocating for the Open and Accountable Elections Act because it promotes community-supported candidates, makes our elections more accessible, and ensures that people of diverse backgrounds can work to represent the interests of everyday Portlanders. With this in mind, I hope that you will support the election reform vote coming before the City Council. Hear, hear, and thank you.
Thanks very much.
I should also add that I've received over 500 emails on this topic, so thank you very much.
My name is Emma Easley Darden. I'm one of the co-chairs of Bernie PDX and a member of Portland Forward. And I also have worked on collecting these petitions and having members of the community write letters, which you've hopefully received and read. Over the last year and a half, as I've worked with the Bernie Sanders campaign to organize the main grassroots arm in Portland into the force that is still known as Bernie PDX, as we work on local issues, I spent countless hours engaging with members of our community with every... Sorry, I'm nervous not from you, but my two little girls who are creating mayhem in the hallway.
That's quite all right.
I spent countless hours engaging with members of our community from every background that one can imagine. Teachers and students, middle-class homemakers and homeless veterans, high school students, blue-collar workers, millennials, and seasoned activists. It has been an eye-opening experience, to say the least. And an amazing one, but so many of these people, literally thousands, had either never engaged in the political process or had gone years since they had been involved. And the common thread was, I don't have a voice. There are too few politicians who reflect my values, my desires, who understand my life and my needs and my concerns. They simply feel disconnected from the process. As we tried to engage them on both a local level and national level during the primaries, I heard those phrases again and again. But then an amazing thing would happen. One by one, they gained a vision of what might be possible. And those hopes didn't just lie in the presidency. Over and over, we were encouraged to look from the bottom up, to prepare a groundswell, that could change this country on every level. You've seen some of that today. I was talking with Meg Bergio in the hallway earlier, and she said, a year ago, I don't know that I would have imagined testifying before the city council, but now I'm involved and engaged. One day, I got a call from my friend Rob. I won't yell as loud as he did, but he exclaimed over the phone, I did it. I filed papers to run for office. He was so inspired that he just had to dive in to represent those voiceless people we'd been meeting. He ran an engaged campaign with dozens of friends canvassing throughout the district that he hoped to represent, but he was outspent exponentially. And though we had been cautiously hopeful, we weren't surprised when his challenger, the one backed by the normal power players, won. Over the last few months, I've seen others step up. One is running for mayor of the Dalles. One is running for city council in Lake Oswego. They're fighting hard, but like that first friend, they face steep uphill battles because they struggle to compete with the big money of their opponents. It is time to change the dynamic of constantly seeking money to run for office. And we can start here in Portland. We can bring open, accountable elections. We can make it so that small contributions become donations that allow a campaign to thrive. Candidates can run for office without having networks of big donors. That isn't to say that knowing big donors is a big thing, or a bad thing, I should say. But wouldn't you rather spend your time meeting with constituents in large groups or small groups, some of them with large amounts to spend, up to the $250, and some with $5 or $10 to spend, like Bernie collected from so many people throughout the nation? This would mean that more people could be part of our democracy and contribute their voice and their vision to continue to make Portland the kind of city that I grew up in and the one that I want to raise my three little girls in. People should be able to run for office based on their ideas and their passions and not the passions of those from whom they have to raise money.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You could send the rest in writing, please.
Yes, I was done.
Appreciate you all being here, and maybe if we get this right, one day one of your daughters will be causing mayhem from inside of one of the offices. Thank you.
The next three are Mark Sterbois, Steve Carter, and Ann Littlewood, and they'll be followed by Gregory Monahan, Akish Singh, and David Delk.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor Hales and commissioners, my name is Mark Sterbois, and I'm representing the Communication Workers of America, Local 7901. I am also privileged to be a member and supporter of many of the groups who are testifying today. Instead of citing statistics, I would like to give an observation, which I'm sure most, if not all of you, can relate to. In today's climate, you are tasked with making decisions that can occasionally disturb a significant portion of the electorate. You have a reason for making said decisions, yet your rationale is lost with a simple trip to Orstar. Instead of being able to defend your path to reaching your decision, you are hit with innuendos on contributions and the independence of your votes. Regardless of the validity, it clouds the decision. With the exceptions of the open and accountable elections, this could be a moot point if you were a participant. As incumbents, you should have the networks to meet the participation requirements and still have the name recognition and free media in the course of doing your jobs. You'd be able to meet the public and talk to them on their doorsteps or over the phone instead of dialing for dollars, and you have a record to run on. I have volunteered on campaigns and interviewed candidates for many years, and over the years, I've gotten to meet many bright and principled community advocates. One is sitting on the council at this time. We are richer for having these people enter the process. We are richer for the debates and the passion that these people bring, but so many of them have little experience in running a campaign or raising funds. The city is richer with more voices at the table, and the foundation this plan would have in enabling these robust discussions with people passionate enough to be put on display. Portlanders want the city council to pass open and accountable elections. Over 30 organizations representing tens of thousands of people have come together to call for this reform. We hope that the City Council will listen to the voices of the voters and work together to make our democracy to everyone, to open our democracy to everyone. This plan has a track record to protect the city, and I believe that the price of implementing is a pittance compared to what it offers. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate that point, sort of how it works on this side of the dais, and that is I'm a little bit of a laboratory experiment here in that I announced a year ago that I wasn't going to run for office again, and people have disagreed with me on one or another issue, as always is the case, as you pointed out, but people immediately stopped questioning my motivations, and I noticed the difference. Welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, Novick, and Salzman, thank you for the opportunity to speak in favor of the open and accountable elections reform. My name is Stephen Carter. I am a volunteer here representing AERP Oregon, which has over a half a million members in the state. AERP supports this proposal because we believe it will encourage broader representation in city government, greater participation of citizens in political campaigns and elections, and create more trust in government and greater transparency and accountability in campaign contributions and spending. Transparency is a critical component of good government. Citizens deserve to know and must know how public money is being spent and who is spending that money on political campaigns. There is a tremendous amount of public distrust about the influence of big money in government. That trust may be concentrated at the state and national levels, but it inevitably seeps down into local government as well, whether it's deserved or not. The open and accountable elections reform fights this perception by tightening Oregon state reporting requirements for campaign spending and contributions at the local level. And there can be very stiff penalties in this proposal for violations of these requirements. So the tighter reporting requirements together with tough penalties equal more transparency in political campaigns. Now, I want to touch very briefly on the importance of civic engagement. AERP believes it's vital that citizens participate at all levels of our democracy, and this proposal has every chance of improving that. In New York City, which has had a similar proposal, as you've heard, for almost 30 years, studies have shown that the Fair Elections Act there has invigorated civic engagement. The donor match program has increased the number of campaign donors overall, and it has increased the number of small donors. Candidates who have participated in this program in New York say they can profitably spend their time in small neighborhood meetings talking to a broad spectrum of residents. They report this outreach in many cases has resulted in local citizens getting involved in their campaigns. And that is civic engagement, my friends. So for these reasons and many others, we at AERP Oregon urge you, the council, to improve our local government by passing the open and accountable elections reform. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Ann Littlewood, and I'm speaking as a small donor. I've lived in Portland most of my life, a good many decades, on the east side. I've always tried to be informed about my city. I read the news, I vote, I talk to candidates that come to the door. I make contributions. My contributions were small potatoes until about 2 years ago, when I accidentally entered my Visa security code in the amount field for an online campaign donation. It wasn't a huge amount, but apparently it was enough. Ever since, candidates call me to chat and to hear my views. But what I really want to tell you today is that I never once thought of running for office. Now and then, I'd wonder why people would do the hard work, put up with the aggravation, and drain their bank accounts to get elected. And like everyone else, I'm quick to criticize, but not so fast to step up. When I looked at this campaign finance reform measure, it finally occurred to me that it really ought to be possible for anyone with the starch to run for office, including people who haven't got access to big donations and people who represent the diversity of Portland. I've been persuaded that this is a tested, practical approach that can work for Portland and that it will open a space for voices that really should not be so hard to hear in our political discourse. We all know that our national politics are not very representative or in gridlock. Change will have to come from the bottom up. Let's be part of that process. Let Portland show the way. Please pass the open and accountable elections. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The next three are Gregory Monahan, Akish Singh, and David Delk. And they'll be followed by SV, Cassie Cohen, and Kelly O'Hanley.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm Gregory Monahan. I'm here as a representative of the Oregon Sierra Club, where I'm a volunteer organizer. I'm going to truncate my testimony, which you have copies of, in the interest of time. The Oregon chapter of the Sierra Club supports the adoption of the open and accountable elections policy. I'm skipping the reasons, which are in my testimony. But in summary, the outcome will promote a more representative government that is more responsive to the needs of the diverse residents of Portland. This, in turn, will make our city a better prepared to meet the challenges thrust upon us as we seek to make a just transition to a carbon-neutral society. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share our views, and thank you for listening.
Thanks very much. Good afternoon. Welcome.
I'm David Delk. I'm the president of the Alliance for Democracy. It's a little grassroots organization that believes that we need to establish true democracy. So I am very pleased to say that the Alliance for Democracy is totally supportive of the proposal by Commissioner Fritz, and we're very grateful that you've brought it forward. We need to move from a privately financed system of electing our city mayor and commissioners is very clear. The present system causes people to believe that their officials are bought and sold to the highest bidder, certainly not a system which builds confidence and trust. However, we do note that all other governments using a public financing system mechanism also have limits on campaign contributions. Seattle, which earlier this year enacted a public funding system, at the same time tightened the limits they already had in place. The danger with not having limitations is that privately funded candidates can swamp the publicly funded candidates, making elections non-competitive and subject to the same distrust that the present system engenders. On the Multnomah County ballot is Measure 26-184 to limit campaign contributions and expenditures and require disclosure of major funders. The City of Portland should consider and then adopt the same requirements for city elections. We also think the candidates who accept public funding should be identified as having accepted and participated in the system, while those who have not should be identified as not participating. At minimum, such identification should be part of each candidate's voter pamphlet statement. Limitations combined with public funding and clear identification of participation is the way to create a democratic system with public and build public confidence in the system. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for reminding me about the stipulation to have that as a participating candidate. We had to do that in the old one. I'll put that down. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Akash Singh, and I regret to inform you that my testimony will not be the record for the shortest one. the phrase, "we the people," at its creation, realistically referred to white-landed gentry. In 2016, as we have hopefully expanded the definition of people within that phrase, we are confronted with a troubling circumstance regarding our democratic institutions. When Governor Mitt Romney, which seems like ages ago, said that corporations were people too, there was an understandable anger at that sentiment. But as abhorrent as those who truly cherish the meaning of a democracy find that sentiment to be, it is a reality. When corporations and donors have a greater degree of power than the citizenry and how our democracy functions, We the people garner an oligarchy instead of a democracy. With oligarchical structures, public services are presented to the public as if they are in their best interests, even if the constituencies affected ardently voice our opposition. But there is little to no accountability in such a system, and without that accountability, there simply isn't a system beholden to the public. People of color, women, LGBTQIA individuals, people of lower incomes, and other marginalized communities and populations are often barred from corridors of power. Individuals from those communities and groups, in spite of their experiences and ideas, are thwarted by donor checks long before they even have a chance at the ballot box. Open and accountable elections is a way for that barrier to be eradicated. Without individuals of all walks of life taking part in the decision-making process, the amount of progress Portland can make is truly minimal. I urge each and every single one of you to support our democratic values and be in favor of open and accountable elections. I urge each and every single one of you to stand up against the diluting of democracy in a renewed age of voter suppression by respecting the power of the public. I urge each and every single one of you to make it known that you value your constituents, your voters, and your public more than you value large donors who believe that democracy can be purchased not with a vote, but with a check. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The next three are SV and Cassie Cohen and Kelly O'Hanley. And they will be followed by Valdez Bravo, Carly Edwards, and Sammy Aloy. This should be SV from Gresham address. Cassie Cohen.
Okay. Please go ahead while they're getting settled.
Great. My name is Kelly O'Hanley. I'm a physician. I'm speaking on behalf of the Climate Action Coalition. Our coalition is composed of about 11 local organizations and has been responsible, among other things, for helping stop the proposed propane terminal, as well as advancing the No New Fossil Fuels Infrastructure measure. While two-thirds of the general population acknowledges that climate change is real, the overall political response to this threat has been muted at best. This begs the question, why? Fossil fuel companies pour money into political system. Exxon knew about climate change about 40 years ago and spent millions to promote misinformation. In 2015 alone, fossil fuel companies spent upwards of $140 million on lobbying efforts. In the past year, they spent $90 million in campaign contributions. We're up against Goliath. We need to place the voters' interests, not those of outside donors, front and center in the political process. Open and accountable elections will help ensure that Portlanders concerned about climate change can be heard in our democracy. Therefore, the Climate Action Coalition views any and all steps at the federal, state, and local levels to get corporate money, notably fossil fuel money, out of politics is absolutely crucial. So the Climate Action Coalition says in full voice, bring on Portland campaign finance reform, yay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Cassie Cohen. Thank you for having me and listening to us tonight. I'm here on behalf of Unite Oregon. I'm a staff at Unite Oregon. I also come before you with my experience as a woman who was born and raised in the Portland metro area. As a former city employee who worked to help complete Portland's largest citywide community visioning process, Vision PDX, as a volunteer who has contributed hundreds of hours of service on community and city commissions and boards, and as a leader who has helped ensure communities of color and people experiencing homelessness, houselessness, had and have a say in the Portland Harbor Superfund cleanup process. But yet, I could not run for office today. I do not personally have the network and the connections with the 600 folks who are the most common contributors to elections. And many of the folks that I've worked with over the years cannot, even though I think there are many, many candidates who would be interested. So I believe that open and accountable elections is a very critical step towards removing the real barriers of wealth, knowledge of systems, special interests or connections to major donors that are present to people of color, immigrants, and refugees. For you all, this may be personally a vulnerable step for you to take on as city council members to endorse this. But I feel a critical step in your journeys as leaders to take this step to find a way to kind of work out the logistics that I've heard tonight that are issues around who will operate this new program and find a way to make it work. I feel encouraged by your good questions, and it sounds like there is some genuine interest in finding a way to make this act happen. And I do envision starting a new trend where the city of Portland can lead in its practice of having full representation of all communities on its city council. So thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Surasai Villalai, hence I go by SV. It's my first time speaking today, and I'm honored and thankful to have this venue, this opportunity, this ability. Actually, a little backstory is United Oregon used to be known as CIO, Center for Cultural Organizing, and I was fortunate to be one of the graduates in 2009 as the first pilot. So it's just wonderful to see that they're progressing and growing and building a strong network. They did not ask me to come here today. As a matter of fact, I was born in 1980, and I feel I'm a bridge in a way for the Generation X and the millennials of our time. And what really spoke to my heart to come out and speak today was attending an event that KBOO, thankfully, is around for me to listen to while I drive throughout town doing Lyft and Uber. I was able to catch an event that they were hosting about a documentary. A gentleman, my investigative reporter, by Greg Pallas, came in and showed his premiere. Powerful, insightful. I highly recommend everybody in this room to watch it before the second gathering so we can have a bigger picture of what we are worried about as a society in this world we live in. And it was wonderful to see Chloe here sharing her testimony, and I got this by hanging with some KBOO people afterwards. So it was like, wow, real in the flesh to see here in person. It was really fun to see that. My hope is that as city council representatives lead us in our city, that they would not only learn from investigative reporting, but listen to the wisdom from like Howard Zinn, the questions that he's asked that I've learned through KBOO as well. As I'm almost finishing the book, Think and Grow Rich, I've come across 1776 and the 56 people that signed an independent declaration. You know, what were their reasoning? I want us to be reminded that this is a proponent to move forward to help more diversity, for us to see more representatives out there of color and sex, of both. And times are changing, I would say, and we need to change with it. With technology, we can have more creative ways to think outside the box to get votes, to get donations. And I wanted to address over in New York, where this is being adopted from, we have this Statue of Liberty, which represents freedom. But I read a book recently by Viktor E. Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning in Life. And his quote is, if a man knows his why, he could bear about just any how. And in his book, he suggests that not only having the Statue of Liberty, but I see Portland being the underdog, a story where we can have a statue of responsibility.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
The next three are Valdez Bravo, Carly Edwards, and Sammy Alloy. And they will be followed by Bill Harris, James Offsink, and Ben Garretts.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you. My name is Valdez Bravo. I'm a native Oregonian, a Latino, and a veteran. And I'm proud to be the descendant of a Yankton Sioux chief and an affiliated member of the Standing Rock Tribe. I'm also proud to have served 8 years in the Army, serving in Afghanistan before returning home in 2003. I now serve my fellow veterans at our local VA hospital. 12% of Americans served their country during World War II. Today, less than 0.5% of Americans serve. This, along with economic barriers to entry, has resulted in a lack of veterans serving in elected office. In 1975, 70% of Congress had served in the military. These days, it's closer to 20%. And there are also less veterans serving in local government. There are no veterans on our Portland City Council. And there hasn't been a veteran on our City Council in 24 years, since Mayor Bud Clark, a former Marine, left office in 1992. Open and accountable elections will level the playing field and ensure that veterans will have a voice at the table and the opportunity to once again serve and participate in the civic process. Veterans bring their loyalty, duty, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage and diversity to city council. People of color, while underrepresented in government, are more than overrepresented in the military. Veterans' leadership and diversity will have a powerful and positive effect on local government. This will create a pipeline of future leaders who can serve in positions of increasing responsibility, leaders who look like the communities they serve. Every day at the VA, I see the lasting damage that war has wreaked upon my fellow veterans and their families, men and women, old and young, forever altered by their experiences. The impact of war on our communities is often invisible. And when our elected leaders do not have that experience of serving, they are more likely to repeat these same mistakes, more willing to send our young people into harm's way. We need campaign finance reform at all levels of government, and Portland has the opportunity to take the lead and be a model for other cities, counties, and states. If we can demonstrate a commitment to transparency and open elections across the nations, we will be able to transform the landscape of the political environment and open the door to achieving real progress. And at the micro or macro level, whatever your passion, be it racial justice, climate justice, social justice, or economic justice, we're not going to war. We need to reform our political campaign finance system. And when the donors have open access, we lose. And when the average American citizen has open access, we win. And when we, the average American, has an equal chance at being elected, we will achieve a more engaged electorate, a representative government, and a government that is truly of the people, by the people, and for the people. Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Hello, my name is Carly Edwards, and I'm the state director for the Oregon Working Families Party. Our minor party represents 11,000 registered voters and over 30,000 supporters. I'd like to thank commissioners for your leadership and for bringing this issue, and in particular, Commissioner Fritz, for your leadership on this issue, not by just bringing us here today, but for living your values using the system Portland has had in place in the past, and also for hosting the town halls, which I had the opportunity to attend. I also want to thank those who helped put on the community aspect of this and bringing people here today. There was a tragic loss in the social justice community, and I think it's very poignant given the issue to just raise a quote from Sarah Ayanna Roan that she posted today that was, "Please give us fierce hearts for the fight and soft hearts for the fighting." So thank you for my brothers and sisters for being here for helping organize this. It feels like a common theme for me to be able to come here in the last few weeks and be able to highlight proposals that are being brought up that are the exact kind of creative common sense policies that our voters want to see and are looking for from local leadership. And in particular, I know that our voters are overwhelmingly enthusiastic to support policies that limit big spending in politics. This policy has the power to fundamentally improve our local democracy. Our voters are tired of the big money in politics that Citizens United has unleashed, and are also tired of feeling narrowed into choices because too many of our community leaders are left out of the political process and because of their lack of access to big dollar donors. Many of our voters purposefully have chosen to be part of a third party that they feel represents their values, in part because we aren't supported by those same big dollar donors. This policy excites voters like ours because it gives a breath of fresh air that we can change broken systems. Our voters also want to be seen and heard by those that are elected, and we know public financing models help promote candidates talking to more people, which helps our democracy, as those elected have stronger connections and understanding to the issues in our communities. In short, this policy is exciting. This policy is proven. This policy will overwhelmingly make our community better, and passing it by City Council is an excellent reflection of our city, your leadership, and the work of all those involved to make this happen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. Thank you so much for your dedication to this issue. For the record, my name is Sammy Alloy. I'm the Deputy State Director of the Working Families Party. The Working Families Party seeks to create a voice for working people in politics. We're working to create a future where our economy works for everyone, not just the wealthy and the well-connected, one where politicians are accountable to working people instead of corporate interests and wealthy donors. We believe that our local elected officials should reflect the diversity of our communities and should have the ability to focus on policies that matter to working families, good jobs, secure housing, accessible health care, and quality, affordable education. Open and accountable elections is an exciting step towards achieving those goals. This policy is a game changer. By amplifying small contributions, it'll change the way that candidates campaign, giving them more time to focus on the needs of constituents and their policy goals, and less time fundraising. By adding more transparency around campaign contributions, it'll help make our democracy more open and accessible to everyone. And by limiting the influence of the wealthy and the well-connected, it'll give women and people of color a real chance to run and win, making our democracy more representative of all of us. In considering open and accountable elections, Portland is on the right track. Similar policies have been tried and proven in other cities, and this is the right time for Portland to follow suit. The Portland City Council, rather than the ballot, is the right place to pass this reform. Voters have been clear that they're fed up with big money in politics, and I think after this election cycle, we've all seen enough multi-million dollar attack ads. Voters want our elected officials to focus on solutions. People of all backgrounds and political affiliations want a democracy that values everyday voters over large and out-of-state corporations. That's why there's such strong public support in Portland for this reform. I also just want to share a couple of pieces of information that were shared with us by our colleagues at Connecticut and New York Working Families, where they have public financing of elections. You know, the data bears out that this is a system that works. The New York Brennan Center for Justice took a look at who was donating to campaigns, and they were shocked by the results. In 2009, they compared city council races governed under public financing with 2010 legislative races in the same neighborhoods which weren't. In the low-income communities of Bedford Stuyvesant, low-income donors were 24 times as likely to donate to political campaigns. So, you know, I think the proof is in the pudding there. And also I want you to consider that in New York and Connecticut, their public financing systems were really a result of political corruption scandals that happened there. And, you know, we're lucky here in Portland that we haven't had to have such a crisis, and let's not wait for that to occur. So, you know, thank you again for your vision and leadership, and I urge you to keep moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
The next three are Bill Harris, James Offsink, and Ben Garretts, and they'll be followed by Jordan Earls, Hugh McGavick, and Dan Meek.
So how many more do we have to testify? I'm thinking we could perhaps go to 2 minutes. How long can you
stay? About eight more signed up.
Eight more? Oh, we can make it. We can make it then.
I'm okay, fine. Good. Thank you.
Bill, I think you're on first.
My name is Bill Harris. I am a board member at Oregon Common Cause. We're going to project the photographs for people to see of a large group of people, scores of people, who filled out cards describing why they want this measure passed. I'll be reading their cards while the projection occurs. After a while, sometime. Everyday Oregonians, and here they come. They ready to go?
There they go.
Oh, there's a card. I believe we need more diverse representation in our elected offices. The current state of elections unfairly amplifies the voices with the most money. We need to change that now if we believe we are truly a democracy. Big money cannot have more of a voice than the people. Please support meaningful election reform for us all. I believe that candidacy for city council should be more open to people of color and to women. People should not have to spend so much time raising money from big donors. They therefore could talk more with the people of Portland. All should be able to run for office without being held back by people with weighted pockets. Please support publicly funded elections so that everyone, regardless of their economic situation, has an equal opportunity to run for office, and so elected officials aren't unduly influenced by their donors. Money is not speech, so I support election processes that increase public participation and decrease special interest financial influence. An investment in our democracy is an investment in the solutions we find together. Despite a country whose ideals empower the individual, it is discouraging how much influence money and those who hold it control things. This can be changed. Please help. I want open democratic elections in fact and appearance. Let's do this now. Thanks for voting yes. I believe in democracy, and I believe this is an important protective measure for keeping ours healthy. People like me who would like to run for office can't afford to run a campaign and don't have access to big donors. The political priorities of large donors frequently do not align with mine. With open and accountable elections, I believe that my views will be more openly represented by our policy makers. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks very much. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hello, I'm James Offsink, a current candidate for the Oregon Senate and a longtime democracy advocate through organizations like the League of Women Voters, Common Cause, City Club, Hack Oregon, and others. Voter-owned elections was the first campaign that I was closely involved in, and I was heartbroken to see the promising program fade away due to a few hundred votes. Throughout my tenure in local activism and advocacy, I have consistently been impressed with the policy ideas, passion, and political savvy of members of the community who are outside the traditional circles of power. These individuals have a lot to contribute to the way our society is run, but as our system exists today, they will most likely never be put in positions where they can enact real change. As I can attest, being a candidate in our system as it exists today requires a tremendous amount of money to print literature, make lawn signs, use voter tracking technologies, and to do all the other things that are required to run a viable campaign. And that financial burden is an invisible barrier that limits who even starts the process. For someone working full-time and making $30,000 in an entire year, the idea of raising $200,000 or more from some of the numbers that we've heard in just a few months is daunting to the point of discouraging. Without being part of an existing network of wealthy individuals or organizations, it's difficult to know where to even begin. The result is that the groups of people who most need a bigger voice in our democracy, including communities of color and young people, the groups are exactly the groups of people who have the least developed network of wealthy donors and are shut out from a large and important part of our political process. Our existing system exerts pressure shaping the types of candidates that are viable, and because of this, we miss out on a lot of potential that these individuals and communities would bring to the leadership of our city. Aside from who can run from office, it's also important how community members can participate. When people see the tremendous amount of money going into political campaigns and know that they don't have a lot to donate, they may be discouraged from donating at all and end up believing that they don't matter in a political process that places so much emphasis on campaign contributions. Open and accountable elections offers time-tested solutions to both problems, allowing any Portlander an opportunity to galvanize grassroots support and have the resources to run a viable campaign. Our democracy works best when everyone has a voice and when people know that they can meaningfully engage in the same way that everyone else can. While other places in the country put up blockades to people participating in their democracy, here in Oregon, we can continue to build upon our legacy as democracy trailblazers. For a fairer, better, and more participatory democracy, I urge the council to enact open and accountable elections. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Benjamin Garrett. I'm an SEIU 503 board member from the private nonprofit sector, also the CAPE Council Chair for the Portland region, SEIU 503. And I want to thank our honorable commissioners, our mayor, the people in this hall coming together in celebration of democracy. I'm here today as a lifelong Portlander in a city that's rapidly changing, and I embrace this change, provided everyone, new and old Portlanders alike, have the opportunity to shape our more inclusive future. I'm here today for my family, for my husband, who's an immigrant from Spain and Mexico, for our daughter, who's studying in Veracruz on the dean's list in her college, getting a law degree. Our daughter, who will soon have the opportunity to join my husband and me shaping Portland's future as the first generation who has had this opportunity through marriage equality. I'm here as a broken-hearted case manager, serving so many people who are ill, doing their best to stay healthy, and forced to sleep on our streets every single night. They may have very little in a superficial sense, and they're among the most gracious, grateful, humble, appreciative Portlanders I've ever known. I imagine the unlimited potential that our city holds when we uplift the voices of those that I serve, the voices of every family that shapes our city. How Portland is changing and whose voices are valued raises really important questions about our political process, and currently that process is out of balance. The voice of a wealthy donor writing one check too often silences the voices of families like mine. We struggle to pay the bills. We contribute what little we can with the hopes that our working class voice may be heard. So I ask of you to raise your voices. Raise your voices of leadership and support this resolution for the people of Portland who are here today and the new Portlanders like my daughter who will help shape our future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The next three are Jordan Earls, Hugh McGavick, and Dan Meek. And then there are eight more after them. The next three after will be Nicholas Caleb, Chelsea Penning, and Gregory McKelvey.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hello. I'm Jordan. I'm a senior at Portland State. I'm here in support of the Open and Accountable Elections Act. I was born at OHSU in 1991. I decided to attend PSU because I wanted to integrate my education with my goal of positively impacting the city I call home. Our motto is, let knowledge serve the city. As a young student and a young person, I see my future is tied to the future of our community. And in order to move towards a brighter future, we need to find comprehensive solutions to the problems we all face together. Our current campaign finance system prevents us from doing that, though. Right now, candidates are required to fundraise from wealthy individuals in order to run competitive campaigns. When candidates have to focus their time and energy on those who can give the most, they spend less time with people who are most hurt by the problems we face together. That means the experiences of those most impacted by these issues are divided from the solutions that are sought on their behalf. I'm a political science student, and in political science, we say policymaking is a form of problem solving. You don't have to study political science to know that all good problem solving requires nuance. And as Commissioner Novick pointed out at the beginning of this hearing, when candidates have to spend their election campaigning towards a specific set of people, we lose that nuance in our policymaking, and that's a problem in and of itself, and that's why this should be a priority, both in terms of the policymaking of our city council, but also in terms of our budget. Under the Open and Accountable Elections Act, candidates will get to know the problems we face as a community more intimately because we'll be exposed to more diverse perspectives, which can only improve the solutions that are brought to the table. Commissioner Fish is not here anymore, but I would like to address some of the questions that he posed. Voter VOE, as Commissioner Fritz pointed out, was repealed because it didn't work. I can say with a degree of confidence, if this were to be referred to the ballot, it would pass with an overwhelming majority. Portland supports this. We got over 1,000 petition signatures on this. That's not really the reason it shouldn't go to the ballot. The reason it shouldn't go to the ballot is because before you, we have 30 organizations who serve the most marginalized sectors of our community. They have spent their time and resources advocating for this proposal because it will serve those people. And if it goes to the ballot, that means they'll have to use their time and resources raising money against individuals and groups who this proposal is designed to balance our democracy against. Their time and resources are better spent directly serving the groups they represent, and this is something that should be passed in-house for that reason.
Good evening. I'm Hugh McGavick. I'm a retired civil rights attorney from Washington State who is retired here. I came to convince and persuade and argue as I'm trained, but I'm not going to do any of that. This page of comments is moot now because I haven't heard any opposition to this from the panel. And Commissioner Fritz, thank you for bringing this forward. Thank you, Mayor, and Commissioner Novick for hearing the citizenry. I haven't heard any opposition anywhere. I've heard comments and constructive suggestions. This is moving forward, I strongly feel, as it should. This is a great way to empower people to change the definition of what it means to be a candidate in a Portland election. It's no longer who is the marathon person who can go the distance and raise the most money, who can become the most beholden, who can become the most burdened, who can do the things that are not essential to govern but are essential to getting elected. So this is a beautiful pathway to that, and I strongly commend where you're at. The other thing it will do is change public perception. Who is a candidate? Why should I pay attention to them? Will they pay attention to me? Who are the people we've elected? I know them. They came to my house with 17 other people, and we each gave them $10. That was great. I'm in the game. I got skin in the game now, and they know who I am, and they'll listen to me. I can go to city council. This is democracy. This is democracy exemplified. This is beautiful. And I've heard ideas and comments and questions, and they're all with regard, how do we do this? Not shall we do this? It's pretty clear we shall do this. This needs to happen now. And may the angel be in the details.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dan Meek. I'm a 33-year resident of Portland. I'm currently co-chair of the Independent Party of Oregon, has about 120,000 members statewide, and probably at least a few dozen in Portland. I'd like to suggest that the ordinance could profitably incorporate a couple of the provisions that are in Measure 26-184 of Multnomah County, which is on the ballot, and I hope will win in about 5 days, and is described in great detail at honest-elections.com. One provision of this of your ordinance, proposed ordinance, is that once a candidate receives public funding up to the limit provided, then that candidate can no longer raise money from any sources at all, not even from small donors. And for example, for a council race, as I read it, in the primary, the spending limit essentially is $250,000, of which $144,000 comes from public funding. In the general, $300,000, and about $216,000 comes from public funding. After that, the publicly funded candidate has to shut down all fundraising. As I read it, can't even receive a dollar from anyone. That prohibition, that shutdown, is then lifted if a non-participating candidate exceeds those spending limits. Well, that might not happen. Or you might have two publicly funded candidates running against each other, and they both get up to the limit, and then they're stuck. And far be it, you know, I'm sure that particularly Commissioner Novick will be interested in when I say that sometimes you restrict contributions too much. And essentially shutting down even small contributions once you get up to a particular level of contributions received, I think you might want to reconsider. You might want to lift the limits under less stringent circumstances. In addition, let's say that you have a publicly funded candidate reaches the limit, and then someone comes in to support a candidate on the other side with, you know, $500,000 of independent expenditures. This measure still doesn't allow the publicly funded candidate to raise even one more dollar from anyone. So I think that the limits on what a participating candidate can raise should be raised also if independent expenditures come in on the other side. Now, the two provisions of Measure 26-184, I would suggest, are put taglines on independent expenditure ads. The county measure says those ads have to identify their top five true original sources of funding. And a provision like this actually saved the city council and mayorship of the city of Richmond 2 years ago in an example that you're probably familiar with.